بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم ما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألا إن أولياء الله لا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون الذين آمنوا وكانوا يتقون صدق الله العظيم. My most respected brothers and elders, alhamdulillah, over the past few months we have discussed many of our akabir, ulama-i Deoband. We had commenced first with the brief biography and the beautiful lessons in the life of Hazrat Sayyidina, Mawlana Mahmud al-Hassan, or Mawlana Sayyid Hussain Ahmad Madni, Mawlana Sayyid Hussain Ahmad Madni, Rahmatullahi Alayhi, and then we moved on to the biography of Mawlana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi, Rahmatullahi Alayhi, then Mawlana Qasim Nanotvi, Rahmatullahi Alayhi. We discussed Mawla Khalil Ahmad Saharanpuri Rahmatullahi Alayhi, then Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullahi Alayhi, and in today, tonight, inshaAllah, we hope to discuss some brief biography and the life and the mission of Hazrat Mawlana Muhammad Ilyas Khandalvi Rahmatullahi Alayhi. Another very, very, very great wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as we read about his life, we will understand what type of ache and pain he had in his heart for the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is mentioned that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has reported a hadith, or has mentioned a hadith, in which Allah ta'ala sends a mujaddid, a reformer, every century to the ummah. And many of the ulama were of the opinion that the mujaddid was Hazrat Mawlana Ilyas sahab rahmatullahi alayhi. Others had mentioned Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah's name as well. So many ulama of the time did great works of deen, imparting deen in different ways. Makatib, hifz, classes, darul ulooms, different ways, tasanif, jihad. Hazrat Mawlana Ilyas Rahmatullahi Alayhi was hailed from a very pious family. His father was a very great buzurg, Mawlana Muhammad Ismail was his father. And his father came from the district of Muzaffarnagar, and we mention this district quite often now in Saharanpur. His father hailed from a very pious family. Now you find this family of Mawlana Ilyas Rahmatullahi Ali, and they come from Khandla, so therefore Khandalvi. His nephew, his brother, he had two brothers. One was Mawlana Muhammad, and he passed away. And then the other brother was Mawlana Yahya, and then Mawlana Ilyas Rahmatullah. So there were three brothers. Mawlana Muhammad was the eldest brother. And then, so his mother was not the same as the mother of Mawlana Ilyas and Mawlana Yahya Rahmatullah. These two had, their mother was different from the mother of Mawlana Muhammad Rahmatullah. Nonetheless, Mawlana Muhammad was the eldest, then was Mawlana Yahya Rahmatullah. We mentioned Mawlana Yahya so often because he was the Sheikh of Mawlana Khalil Ahmad Saharanpuri Rahmatullah. Mawlana Yahya Rahmatullah's son is none other than Hazrat Sheikh al-Hadith, Hazrat Mawlana Zakariya Rahmatullah. Hazrat Zakariya Rahmatullah is the nephew of Mawlana Ilyas Rahmatullah. And we see later on, he marries the daughter of Mawlana Ilyas Rahmatullah. This whole family of Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali, Mawlana Yahya Rahmatullah Ali, Mawlana Ilyas Rahmatullah Ali, right till this very day, Mawlana Saad Sahib Damat Barakatuhum, all of them, the entire family, the grandsons of Hazrat Mawlana Shaykh Zakari Rahmatullah Ali come often. So this entire family, we've got Mawlana Shahid Damat Barakatuhum, Mawlana Aqil Sahib Damat Barakatuhum, just recently I mentioned the other night, Mawlana Salman Rahmatullah Ali became, he passed away maybe a month ago, and he was as a Shaykh Rahmatullah's son-in-law. So all these people hailed from a very, very, very pious family. The dadi of Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali, in other words, his father is Mawlana Yahya, so his mother, and that is the mother of Mawlana Ilyas Rahmatullah Ali, she was a hafiz of the Quran. If we read the amount of Quran, she would read. There is one incident I heard not long ago, Once, the Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali was forced by the family people to recite Taraweeh. He was young. For the family woman, the ladies at home, at night, nafil. And the Shaykh was not too happy, but he was forced. His dadi was there, his mother, his maharim. So the Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali went forward, and he read, and he read, and he read, and he read long, long rakats. Long paras. He read the whole Quran in one night. Finished just at Sehri time. They just made it for Sehri. His dadi said, in Zakaria, you think you did a lot of kamal? Come after Fajr now, we recite Quran, one Quran again. So she was at that caliber. She would just read and read and read 40 khatams. 40 in the month of Ramadan of Quran Kareem Shindu. So we can see this family. So his father came from Muzaffar Nagar. He came to Nizamuddin, that is where it's in Delhi, to teach the children of Mirza Ilahi Bakhsh. His father was a devout saint, and he had devoted himself to worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He had 10 to 12 students from Mewat. Now Mewat, we'll do, inshallah, we'll discuss it. It's a village, very, very poor. And the deen in that village especially was of a very, very, very low standard. Throughout India, there was a time, mashallah, when deen was very, very strong. After some time, things became laxed. Iman of people became weak. Ulama made great effort in different ways. Hazrat Mawlana Ilyas Rahmatullah Ali, whatever is coming to mind now, I'm explaining, that he had gone for Hajj, especially after Mawlana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali passed away. He spent about 11 years in the khidmat of Mawlana Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali, because he went with his elder brother, Mawlana Yahya Rahmatullah Ali. And as mentioned, Mawlana Yahya was also very close to Mawlana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali. Hazrat Sheikh Zakaria also himself said, I grew up on the lap of Mawlana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali. So from childhood days, these people were like born walis. Born walis. Nonetheless, so so in Mewat, we're talking about Mewat especially, people had abandoned deen. They only were Muslims by name. And the only other thing they had, that the nikah was performed by a Musliman, by an imam, by an alim. That's all. Rest of the ibadat was very similar to other customs, and some of them would worship idols and various things they would do. They left deen completely. Mawlana Ilyas Rahmatullah Ali, as I mentioned, after Mawlana Gangohi Rahmatullah passed away, he was obviously very saddened by his demise, and then he just thought, I will now just seclude myself in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Perhaps I'll just go to Madinah Sharif. He had gone for Hajj. Some of the ulama and mashayikh have written that he had seen a dream there, in which he saw Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam instructing him to go back to India and make an effort for deen. And this created a pain in his heart. And this pain is not a normal pain. He became so restless, that he could not see and endure the deen suffering any longer. He wanted to see iman becoming strengthened in the hearts of every person. And for this, he actually gave his entire life. And we will hear, inshallah, Allah give us the tawfiq of saying the right things. There's an occasion where Hazrat Mawlana Ilyas Rahmatullah is there in the Markaz Nizamuddin, and there's poverty, there's no food at all whatsoever. It is the month of Ramadan. Imagine Ramadan. Sehri time. Dasturkhan is spread. They've only got water and some type of fruit which normally they feed the goats with. Khair, whoever was there, they ate that. Came iftar time, they spread the dasturkhan, hoping something will come. Nothing came. Few days went by like this. Imagine month of Ramadan. And he's enduring all this. Whoever was there also endured all this. Hazrat Mawlana Ilyas Rahmatullah Ali then goes to his wife. He seats her down. He tells her, I cannot see you suffering because of me any longer. You're going through such pain, suffering, no food. All because of me. Mawlana Ilyas Rahmatullah had some land, but he had no time to see to those and to get any profit someday and to check any gains from those land that he had. So obviously people abused the fact that Mawlana Ilyas Rahmatullah was so engrossed in deed and making an effort in the work of Dawat and Tabligh. So he had no time for dunya whatsoever. He actually divorced himself from dunya. His entire life was only on the effort of Dawat and Tabligh. Dawat and Tabligh, strengthening the people's iman. He wanted to see iman and yaqeen come strong into the hearts of every person. He goes to his wife, explains it. I know you are making such a sacrifice. I think it will be better for you now that you separate from me. If you wish, I will divorce you. You finish your iddat, I make dua Allah Ta'ala gives you a better husband and you'll have a better life. Mawlana Ilyas Rahmatullah's wife did not utter a single word. She goes into one corner of a room, she takes out one small, as we see, a potli, a small purse, in which there were some coins, some rupees, and some jewelry. She puts it at his feet. She tells him, use this to feed your mehman and for your living. But I beg you, I do not want to separate from this, from you and from this mahol. Now look at the caliber of this woman. Some ulama have mentioned, perhaps it was her sabr, her steadfastness, Allah accepted this work of Dawud and Tabligh. So his family was of a very, very pious family. Mawlana Ilyas Rahmatullah Ali, his brother, Mawlana Muhammad, that was his eldest brother. That was from the first wife, as I mentioned. He came, so the father was teaching in Nizamuddin, and he was teaching some students who came from Mewat. And as I said, Mewat, the background was very, very poor, deen-wise especially. Mawlana Ilyas Rahmatullah Ali's mother, she was a hafiz of the Quran. It was the habit to recite Quran, entire Quran plus 10 juz daily in Ramadan. I mentioned 40 khatam she would make. Hazrat Mawlana Ilyas Rahmatullah was born 1886. That is 1303 Hijri. It was the family practice that time. The first they must memorize the Quran. So he memorized the Quran when he was young. His initial ta'lim was in the local madrasa. Thereafter, at times he studied by his father in Delhi, sometimes in Khandla. In 1896, his brother Mawlana Muhammad Yahya Rahmatullah took him to Gangoh. He spent about 10 to 11 years there. Mawlana Ilyas Rahmatullah Ali was very, very frail, very thin, very weak. And they say he suffered from ill health his entire life. Mawlana Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali's son was a Hakim Mas'ud Rahmatullah Ali. And he used to make the ilaj of Mawlana Ilyas Rahmatullah Ali. He should treat him. And part of the ilaj at one stage was that he could not drink a sip of water even. Extremely difficult. But I said Mawlana Ilyas Rahmatullah Ali abided by this. And for a period of 7 years, he didn't drink any water. In 1908, he proceeds to Dioban. He completed his studies, the Siha Sitta, Bukhari Sharif, Tirmidhi, etc., under Shaykhul Hind Rahmatullah Ali. In spite of his persistent ill health, he managed to complete his studies. And as I mentioned, after Mawlana Gangohi Rahmatullah passed away, he remained silent. He was in muraqabah, meditation. But from his very early days, even the family members, they held him in high esteem. So he's young, qualified now. Once there were many ulama who came, who were present in Khandla. The kitabs have mentioned, people like Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali came. and other great Buzughani Deen were there. It was time for Salat. Somebody put Mullah Ilyas Rahmatullah Ali in front. So one of his family members, jokingly he said, "Oh ho, such a small person, small engine, and he's carrying big carriages. People like Hakim al-Ummat, Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali, and many other Buzughani Deen." So when that person said this, somebody else immediately remarked, "He may be a small engine carrying big carriages, but this engine is a very powerful engine. A very powerful engine." And exactly like that was Hazrat Mawlana Ilyas Rahmatullah Ali. In 1910, he was requested to teach at Mazahir al-Ulum in Saharanpur. As mentioned last week, that was also a very big, great madrasa. And when his elder brother Mawlana Muhammad Rahmatullah passed away, then he was then told to take charge now in Nizamuddin. So he agrees. Mawlana Khalil Ahmad Saharanpuri Rahmatullah Ali instructs him, he goes. And Mawlana Ilyas Rahmatullah Ali there, he suffered famine, hunger, but he would bear all this with sabr and very cheerfully. So as I mentioned, Hazrat Mawlana Ilyas Rahmatullah Ali, his fikr was now to spread deen, and more than that, to get strengthened the iman of the believers, the yaqeen, and to take them out from all the wrong customs that they were practicing, and to bring them back to the masjid. So initially, he tried various ways. He even thought of establishing a madrasa in Mewat. He tried. He was not successful. So various ways he tried, which were all shari'i methods. Until finally, Allah Ta'ala inspired him with this work of Dawat and Tabligh. Allah Ta'ala inspired him. And he didn't just start this work like this. After real, pondering, and then he made mashura with the ulama of the time, Mufti Kifayatullah Rahmatullah Ali, Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali, many great Buzughani Deen. Initially he received much opposition from many people, so it was something new. But that, in Urdu we say, kurhan, that pain in his heart that he had, the restlessness, and we'll find that one night, he's married, after he got married, then he's walking up and down, restless the whole night. So his wife asks him, "But what is wrong with you? You got some pain, some ache, something troubling you?" So he mentioned to her then, "If you had the same pain that I am going through now, then tonight there'll be both of us awake and both of us will be restless." And what was that pain again? The yaqeen that is in the hearts of the people. The greatness of Allah must come into the hearts of the people. Not the greatness of makhluk and the asbab of dunya. Musabbibul asbab. That everything happens only to the qudrat, the might, the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So after Hajj then in 1925, he then began this work of Dawat and Tabligh. So it's obviously just over a century. And he made this effort and he tried. So initially, as I said, it was very difficult. People would not listen. People would go away, move away. They would not listen to him. Mawlana Ilyas Rahmatullah Ali had istiqamat in him. He was like a mountain of istiqamat, steadfastness. So he would go to people and he would give them da'wat and explain to them the oneness of Allah, the greatness of Allah, yaqeen in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the kalima la ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. He would teach them about salat. And he will, this was his day and night work. Wherever he went, if there was some function, of course, where there was no haram taking place, and he would attend that function, he wouldn't waste time, but would very, in a very beautiful way, with pyar and muhabbat, he would again speak to the people there about da'wat and tabligh, the importance of this work, to come and join him. So wherever he found opportunity, whether he was traveling, whether he was in, gone to some masjid, whether he met somebody on the road, wherever he was, he did not leave a single opportunity, but that he made an effort and he called the people to take them out of the darkness of kufr, shirk, bid'ah, wrong yaqeen in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to bring them towards the noor of iman, yaqeen, and this great effort of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam and Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then of course, after years of effort he made, Finally, he was very ill. He had suffered some dysentery. And in March 1944, he became so ill. And I will explain, inshallah, about his salat and how he never gave up salat with jamaat. As I mentioned so often now, every of the akabir, ulama-i Dioband that we have done, every one of them we find unique in them. Their steadfastness when it came with salat, and salat with jamaat, salat in the masjid. Until they were absolutely so weak that they couldn't even stand. Regarding Maulana Ilyas Rahmatullah Ali, right in the final days, when he was so weak, that now he was on the bed only. Then too, he asked for his bed to be brought on the last saf, and he still did his namaz with jamaat. So finally, he was very, very restless, and now his ruh was leaving him. People around heard Allahu Akbar coming out, and then he called for Hazrat Sheikh Zakariya Rahmatullah before that. Other ulama were there, Maulana Manzoor Nomani Rahmatullah, others were there. Then finally he calls Maulana Yusuf Rahmatullah, who was his son. So we talk about those in Dawat and Tabligh, no? Bare Hazrat Ji and Chote Hazrat Ji. Bare Hazrat Ji, Maulana Ilyas Rahmatullah Ali. Maulana Ilyas's son is Maulana Yusuf Rahmatullah Ali. Maulana Yusuf Rahmatullah Ali was also a very great alim. Very great alim. So he called for his son. And when his son came, then he embraced his son. When he embraced his son, that is the time when we call this in tasawuf, intiqal of nisbat. And he embraced him. He gave him a strong hug. And he passed on from himself into his son, Maulana Yusuf Rahmatullah, because he realized that now he has got that capability of receiving this. And he passed it on to him, and immediately after that, he mentioned, Maulana Manzoor Umani Rahmatullah writes somewhere, that after Maulana Ilyas Rahmatullah passed away, everybody was pareshan. Entire markaz, who is going to now take over? What's going to happen? Finally, as the Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali was given he was told to make the decision, the fasla. And he said, Maulana Yusuf, people were thinking, Maulana Manzoor Nomani himself, right, I was there with my wife, we were there in the ladies section, my wife was there, and I'm thinking also, what a choice as a Shaykh made. Maulana Yusuf Rahmatullah is young, what is he going to do, how is he going to speak? They said, after Fajr it was, I think, and he started his bayan. Maulana Manzoor Nomani, he said, I sat up, I listened again carefully. Is this the same Maulana Yusuf? He could not believe. You see, intiqal of nisbat. He said, the way Maulana Yusuf Rahmatullah spoke, we were convinced that this is the right person. So Allah Ta'ala chooses who He wants. There are so many incidents, maybe thousands of incidents, talking about the akhlaq of Maulana Ilyas Rahmatullah. And as I said, these majalis are so that we can bring into our lives the beautiful teachings of these people. What type of life they led. Look at the lessons. There's one to show his tahammul, the sabr he had in his life. And people would swear at them. They would chase them away. They would call them names. But this did not deter them from calling towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One occasion he was in some mahalla, some village. So the person came, met him, and invited him to his home for meals. So Maulana Ilyas Rahmatullah Ali, he said, okay, no problem. He accepted the dawat. He said, when must we come? He said, come after Maghrib. Immediately after Maghrib, you and your few satis. So he said, okay. So Maulana was still busy. And then the brother of this host comes, the younger brother. He says, you are Maulana Ji, your sat. My brother has informed me to tell you all to come now after Isha. Maulana Ilyas Rahmatullah said, no problem, we come after Isha. So after Maghrib, they were busy, they had whatever amal, and they continued. It was late. And then Isha. And after Isha, Maulana Ilyas Rahmatullah proceeds there to the house with his few satis. And as they reach the door, the elder brother is there with the younger brother. And the elder brother is raging with anger. And he starts swearing, Maulana Ilyas Rahmatullah Ali, this is the time to come. I told you after Maghrib. And you are pitching here after Isha. You've got no sharam, what kind of mulvi, and you're talking about Allah, etc. And he gave him a mouthful. Hazrat Maulana Ilyas Rahmatullah kept quiet. Not one word. Think of the incidents of Maulana Hussain Ahmad Madi Rahmatullah, I mentioned so many to you. He didn't mention a single word. He just kept quiet. Whatever this man lashed out at him, he accepted it. He said, what you think of a woman folk? They must hold the spots from Maghrib time for you. Nonetheless, since you came, sit down now. Who'll feel like eating then? They sat with their satis. Why is he sitting? He can see the younger brother, but Mawla doesn't even tell him anything. He's quiet, the younger brother, just looks at them. They're eating, and as they're eating also, one lukma they're taking, and this host, the elder brother, is giving it to them. Mawla Ilyas Rahmatullah tears also. But he's making sabr, doesn't say a single word. Finish, thank the person, made dua, and they went back. The satis told him, Hazrat, you know the reality, the truth. Why didn't you mention to the elder brother that your younger brother told us to come after Isha? Wasn't our fault. My respected brothers and elders, Hazrat Mawlana Ilyas said, yes, I know that. But at that time, if I had to tell the elder brother that this is what happened, these two brothers would then start fighting. Then he would have sworn at his younger brother. They got wives, the wives would then start fighting. I cannot see because of me, a family has disunity because of my coming to their home. So I'm in bardash, I'm in tahammul. Never mind, there'll be peace at their home. And I will just make sabr. Now this is the level, this is the caliber of people we are talking about. As I mentioned so many times, people say, why are you talking about ulama-i dioban, 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 dioban? Allah Ta'ala has chosen them. Allah Ta'ala has shown, of course, I mean, many awliya Allah in the entire world. But we find that they followed Quran, Sunnah, exactly. If you look in the hadith of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Seerah, Rabiul Awwal, people generally hear bayan and Seerah. The tahammul of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the sabr he made, it wasn't just 1 or 2 days. Perhaps you and I want some occasion in our life, we made some sabr and we feel now we are Allah walas. This was a daily occurrence. So Hazrat Mawlana Ilyas Rahmatullah Ali, they mentioned about, you know, I mentioned maqam ihsan, an ta'bud Allah ka'annaka tarah fa in lam takun tarahu fa innahu yarak. It's not only in salat, all our ibadat, we have this consciousness of Allah Ta'ala that Allah is watching us all the time. Of us, as though we are watching, seeing Allah. And if we can't feel it, at least remember that Allah is watching us. This maqam of ihsan. Mawlana Ilyas Rahmatullah mentioned, Mawlana Ali Mehram mentions about Mawlana Ilyas Rahmatullah, that these two qualities of ihsan, the consciousness of Allah Ta'ala, and ihtisab, that having hopes in the reward that Allah has promised. These two qualities were very salient in his life. Of course, many others. And so Qiyamah, the picture of Qiyamah, the manzar of Qiyamah, was always vivid in front of him. Once a person from Mewat comes to him, comes to Delhi, he meets Mawlana Ilyas Rahmatullah Ali. So Mawlana asked him, what brought you here? He said, I came to see Delhi, the town. Then he realized, wrong answer he gave. He said, no, I came to read namaz in the Jami Masjid. Then he thought, no, this also may be wrong. No, I said, I came to meet you. Mawlana Ilyas Rahmatullah made out this person's incorrect answers. Nonetheless, look what he replied, what Mawlana gives, what advice Mawlana tells him, what Mawlana, how he responds. Mawlana Ilyas Rahmatullah says, Delhi, mashallah, Jami Masjid. You cannot compare this to Jannat. And who am I? What status do I have that you came all the way from Mewat to see me? But let me explain to you. He said, I am just a structure of flesh and bones. And one day I'm going to perish. And then Mawlana explained to him what Jannat was. When Mawlana Ilyas Rahmatullah explained to him what Jannat was, it was as though Mawlana Ilyas Rahmatullah was seeing Jannat and explaining to him what Jannat was. Exact in the time of Sahaba. كَأَنَّا رَأْيَ عَيْنِ. As though we could see Jannat in front of us. May Allah Ta'ala give us this quality. If we read about Jannat, read about Jahannam, all the time, then inshallah we will get some type of image in our minds. Talk about Qiyamah. Then we will have that fear that Qiyamah is no joke. I mentioned 2 weeks ago, Jummah, on the day of Qiyamah, the horrors of Qiyamah. So therefore we find that this iman in the heart of Mawlana Ilyas Rahmatullah Ali was of a different level, very, very high level. Even when Muhammad Talha Rahmatullah Ali's wife passed away, Mawlana Ilyas Rahmatullah, what did he tell him? He said, bhai, the haqiqat of this world, the reality of this world is that first one door is shut and then the other door is shut. And like this, we all have to leave this world and our real destination is the hereafter. So Hazrat Mawlana Rahmatullah Ali was so absorbed in this effort of Dawat and Tabligh. So he was the founder of Dawat and Tabligh. And brothers, I will not be making mubalagha at all. I mentioned to the Sathis yesterday also. That all of us are products of Dawat and Tabligh in this country. Oh, most of us. Our Darul Umuz, we see. All came up after the effort of Dawat and Tabligh and Mashayikh coming from overseas making effort. For those who do not know, our Maulana Yunus Saab Rahmatullah Ali, he was sent to become an alim by our Haji Baipaja Rahmatullah Ali. Baipaja Rahmat took him there. And first Maulana went to Nizamuddin. And his first chilla was spent in Mewat. And in the same jamaat was Maulana Abdul Hafiz Makki Rahmatullah Ali, who had come from Makkah, his father sent him. Both of them were in the same jamaat in Mewat. And then Maulana then went to Deoband. So the elders will understand and they have seen Baipaja Rahmatullah Ali, the effort he had made. So all this comes from the effort of Maulana Ilyas Rahmatullah Ali, who had such ikhlas. Only for the pleasure of Allah, not for any fame, name, nothing. And Allah Ta'ala accepted that right till today, the effort of Dawat and Tabligh is taking place in the entire globe, whole world. Not only in India or Pakistan, in the Arab world also. I have seen with their own eyes, I have seen Arabs going onto their knees when they saw Mawlana Inamul Hasan Rahmatullah Ali and other Buzughani Deen. Mawlana Sayyid Khan Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. Till today, there are people who said, we have never seen such ulama like Sheikh Saeed Rahmatullah Ali. Like Sheikh Inam Rahmatullah Ali. Allah Ta'ala put the muhabbat in the hearts of the people. Why? These people gave the entire life. Mawlana Ilyas Rahmatullah Ali, nothing but tabligh, iman, yaqeen, of course, ibadat. But the main one, the concern he had, every opportunity, call the people to the masjid, the menfolk to the masjid, make fikr amongst the people, so that they may change their lives, so they may come out of love of dunya, ghalat yaqeen, and they bring the right yaqeen that only Allah Ta'ala does, and everything is Allah Ta'ala's control. So, somebody had mentioned to Maulana that you're so busy. He said, he compared himself, he said, I'm like the policeman who stands on the highway or the four-way and he is now guiding the traffic. He said, other things are also important. But if this policeman has to leave his place now, what's going to happen? There'll be accidents, there'll be chaos. He said, like that, I am absorbed in this work of Dawat and Tabligh. Allah Ta'ala opened to him. Allah Ta'ala opened to him. Allah inspired him. Allah Ta'ala guided him. Allah Ta'ala assisted him. So he said, he would even avoid functions if he find there was no opportunity to even give this message of Dawat and Tabligh. When he goes to his own hometown, from Nizamuddin he lived, he goes to Khandla. There also, every opportunity with his friends, with his relatives, the same thing. He would speak to them, but he would never bore them. He would speak to them in such a beautiful manner that everybody would become interested. He did not waste any time again. Time, wastage of time. As Thani Ramadan mentioned specifically last week, that this quality of valuing time was very, very important in the life of Hazrat Thani Ramadan especially. Hazrat Mawlana Ilyas Rahmatullah also, he did not waste time in anything else. So he placed a great value on time and he could not see time being wasted. So once some letter that had come, and it was an old letter, it got mixed up with the new mail that came. And they didn't realize that. So Mawlana is reading the same old mail, he read the whole contents, then he realized this was an old mail that came, old letter. So after reading it, then he instructed them to tear it now. So that it does not get mixed up again, and time will be then spent again, and wasted in reading his letter again. So immediately he told them to tear it so that we don't waste time in the future. Now this is the level of value they had for time. And Hazrat Maulana Ali Maram writes that Maulana Ilyas Rahmatullah had fallen in love with Iman, with faith. He had fallen in love with it, with his heart, with his soul. And all his attachment was only on Iman, Yaqeen, the Ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, becoming a friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and saving the millions of people in the entire world from the fire of Jahannam, and trying to show them the way towards Jannat. Whenever Maulana was in pain, he was not well, but some good news came of some Jamaat that came back and they gave some kargozari, that we went there and alhamdulillah this effort took place, he would actually forget his sickness. He would forget his sickness. In fact, one occasion, Maulana had written, he said that to one of the workers who was bringing a Jamaat, he said, I'm waiting for this Jamaat to come. And he said, I'm waiting for the Jamaat which will come along the bank of Jamna, the Jamna River, with the same keenness and excitement like people wait to see the Eid moon. He's waiting for the Jamaat to come, like how people are waiting to sight the moon. But this was the level of fikr he had for Jamaats and enjoyment he would get. If something went wrong with some Jamaat, and if they did not make the effort correctly, then it would cause him much distress and pain. Sometimes he'd fall ill, owing to a lapse on the part of some Jamaat that went out. Once he had become very ill, on returning from Saharanpur, Mullah Ali Mia Rahmatullah asked him, Hazrat, what happened? He said, the Jamaat that came from those places did not observe the usul. They wasted their time on sightseeing. What they went for, they did not do. And this caused him to get sick. Hazrat Mona then said, we have to produce rijal, men who can sacrifice their worldly possessions and even their lives for the sake of this great work, the work of Dawat and Tabligh. So he enjoyed and he felt the joy, more than the joy of Eid, and he endured hardship in this effort. The hot winds of summer appeared more pleasant to him than the gentle breeze of the morning. Once, Hazrat Maulana was traveling up on mountainous road. It used to have horse and cart. And this cart overturned in one area. Passengers were injured. Nonetheless, they managed to reach the top then. After making some effort and some struggle, difficulty, they reached the top. And amongst the Sathis, there were some ulama-i-kiram. Now, those ulama, first time they came out also. And they were not accustomed to going through such qurbani and hardship. But before anybody could even complain, Maulana changed their mood and he said, Sathis, Sathiyo, oh my friends, today, for the first time in your life, you have faced an ascent, a climb, like that of Mount Hira. Now tell me, how many times Rasulullah went up and down Mount Hira? What qurbani he made? What a great effort it must have been for him to climb Mount Hira. And today, mashallah, first time in your life, you got a bit of the taste of what Rasulullah must have went through. After that, nobody had the heart to grumble. He decided to go to one place. It was heavy rain and floods. It is mentioned, Maulana Ilyas reached the destination in knee-deep water. So despite his frail body and his weakness, he even with stomach. It wasn't the bayan. It was the heart he had. The heart that pulled the other hearts towards this work of Dawat and Tabligh. And of course, he would worry about his Sathis. Not that he just make them go through pain and difficulty. Otherwise, the Amir Sahib, the Jamaat will feel now, let everybody make Qurbani. That is why in the Usul of Jamaat, the Amir must be hard on himself, but easy going with the Sathis, so they don't run away. So at the same time, he was worried about the comfort of about his Sathis, and he would make sure that everything, to the best of his ability, would become easy for them. So in essence, I will end of today, inshallah, maybe next week we'll continue. If Allah give us tawfiq and hidayah, there's so many other incidents regarding Hazrat Maulana, but he had this religious pride. And this is what all of us require at this very moment. Our deen, Islam, this is the only true religion. وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِ غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْ. And we should be proud to be Muslims. We should be proud to follow the deen of Islam. We should be proud that we are the ummatis of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When we don't have this sense of pride about our deen, then we'll find ourselves becoming weak, or iman, or ibadat. If people mock, ridicule Islam, then it won't cause us any disturbance. But iman is strong, and a person has pride over his deen, then he'll be steadfast. So Hazrat Maulana Rahmatullah Ali had this great fikr in his heart, and he had this pride for his deen, and therefore he was restless, and he wanted to see everybody receiving the same. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayah to understand, to make amal. There is an incident, also I mentioned the last incident, and we complete turn it tonight, inshallah, where once Hazrat Maulana Rahmatullah Ali had seen, there were many people he would see, completely no deen in their life, no salat. He would make out whilst talking to them. So there was one person who should drive the rickshaw. Those who are in India, Pakistan, Bangladesh will understand the rickshaw. So for no reason, Hazrat Maulana hired him. He said, "Bhai, how much you gonna charge me?" He said, "For where?" He said, "Just take me. Mujhe thora sa guma do. Few hours, just take me." Hazrat Maulana did not intend any suffer. All he intended was this person to become, get close to him. Why? Because he wants him now to become a namazi. So he took him. In the end, he asked him, "Bhai, kitna?" So he told him, "Ek ana," whatever it was. Hazrat Maulana Asam gave him double amount. That person got very happy. That's all. And in the course of that safar, the day, wherever they went, it was namaz time, Maulana Asam Rahmatullah said, "Bhai, thora sa ruk ja. Just wait. Main bas masjid mein jaakar namaz par leta hu." He didn't tell him to come. He said, "Let me just go read my namaz." And he will go, and this man will stay outside. Second day he meets him again. Same thing happens. Namaz time come. "Bhai, main namaz parna jata hu." Take it. This man didn't read namaz. Give him double the amount. Third day. Now Maulana Ilyas Rahman then tells him, "It was namaz time, bhai. You've been traveling with me 2 days, 3 days. Now, it is time for namaz. And that Allah is my Allah, and you also your Allah. So not only my Allah, it's your Allah also. Why don't you join me? Just come in." The person say, "Mujhe namaz nahi aati hai. I don't know how to read namaz." Maulana Ilyas Rahman said, "Chhod do, don't worry. You don't worry about how to read namaz. You just come in with me, that's all." As this man puts his foot into the masjid, he begins to cry. And Maulana Ilyas Rahman looks at him and says, "Bhai, kya hua? What happened?" He said, 40 saal ke baad, after 40 years, aaj pehla din hai. This is the first day that I'm entering the masjid. And after that, this person becomes a namazi. Since he's coming, just one more last. Hazrat Maulana Ilyas Rahman Ali was one youngster who come from the college at night, and he should sit a little while, it was dark, and then he should make khidmat of Maulana Ilyas Rahman Ali. Just massage his feet. And a few days he would come, then one day Hazrat Maulana Ilyas Rahman saw him, so that he did not have a beard. So Maulana told him then, "Bhai, mashallah, you're coming a few days, you're making khidmat. So nice if you grow a beard." Bas. After that, this boy stopped coming. He was feeling very difficult to grow a beard. He liked Maulana Ilyas Rahmatullah Ali. He wanted to make khidmat, but he just didn't have the himmat to grow a beard. So he didn't come. One day, second day, third day, now Maulana Ilyas Rahmatullah got very worried. "Ab kya hua? Where is this youngster?" So he made some inquiry and found out that this person, he is feeling very embarrassed. He doesn't have a beard, and you told him to grow a beard. Maulana Ilyas Rahmatullah became so perturbed, so grieved. He went looking for that boy. Till finally that boy comes then back to Hazrat Maulana Ilyas Rahmatul Ali. Maulana Ilyas Rahmatul Ali begs him for forgiveness. Bhai, maaf kijiye. And Hazrat Maulana explained, he says, kacche tawa mein maine roti dal di. The oven was not yet hot enough. And I just put the roti to get it baked. It was still very, the heat was not yet so high. So it wasn't time for me to have told him, but he grew a beard. Please forgive me. That boy started crying. Hazrat, I should be asking you for maaf, but I'm making qasam in the name of Allah. From today, I'm going to grow a beard. Allah Ta'ala put such asar in their hearts, on their tongues, on their zuban, despite his being a person who had luknat, he was dumber and a frail body, but that level of iman, yaqeen, that akhlaq, that pyar, muhabbat, that Quran, Allah Ta'ala used them, may Allah Ta'ala use us also for the work of da'wat and tabligh, and to attach ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to become such that we link ourselves to Allah and we become a means of the hidayat of billions of people. Billions of people. All with ikhlas. Solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not for any name or any fame. There was a time when Maulana Ilyas Rahmatullah felt that after doing this work of da'wat and tabligh and seeing so much of changes, then obviously the nafs will start. And therefore, after he'd come back from a tablighi journey, after going out for some time, he would go to the khanka of Maulana Raipuri Rahmatullahi and spend 3 days in his khanka. So any ujab came in his heart, it may come out. May Allah Ta'ala grant all of us tawfiq and hidayah to make amal. وآخر دعوان الحمد لله رب العالمين. Inshallah, Wednesday after Isha, we'll have a talk on the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, we talk about seerah the whole year around. And again, there's no specific day that we should be talking about, but especially in the recent events that's happening, it is important for us now to talk more about our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وآخر دعوان الحمد لله رب العالمين. Subhanallah.